Wouldn't it be great if when people saw you, heard of you, noticed you, interacted with you, that all they saw was Christ only, always? And yet, I think, if we're honest, we often get distracted in our own flesh and selfishness, distracted in the world around us that has so much to falsely offer us, distracted because the demonic realm wants our eyes anywhere but on Jesus. There's a baseball story about Yogi Berra. He was catching for the New York Yankees, and one of the tricks he would do as those batters came up to bat was try to distract them. And so one day they were playing the Milwaukee Brewers, and up came to bat a man by the name of Hank Aaron. And as Hank Aaron stood over the plate, Yogi Berra said to him, "You're holding your bat wrong. The numbers and letters are supposed to be facing up." Hank Aaron didn't respond, but when the pitch came, he hit a home run. And as he trotted past the home plate, he said loud enough for anyone close to hear, "I didn't come here to read." We need a reminder as followers of Jesus that we are not here for a good time. We need a reminder as followers of Jesus that our sole goal, in the midst of so many distractions, good and bad, is to bring honor and glory to God. What does that mean? It means we know Him so intimately that in all of life we display that relationship in such a way that others can see and notice and believe in His greatness. We need to know Him so well and live for His glory in everyday life that in the midst of everything going on, they will see Christ only, always living in us. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus," or fixing our eyes on Jesus, focusing on Him, "the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." We are to lay aside two things according to Hebrews chapter 12 as we fix our eyes on Jesus, as we live with Christ only, always living in us. We're to lay aside weight. Here in the Greek, the word is not necessarily negative. In essence, it's saying lay aside distractions that are sometimes even good or okay, but not the best. And then the sin that so easily distracts, that obviously is evil. It's a sin that creeps into our lives sometimes. Hebrews 3 would describe this as the deceitfulness of sin, showing how important being around other believers and interacting with one another and being sharpened by the Word of God is. We're in danger as Christians. In danger because we sometimes forget our purpose. Perhaps even more importantly, in danger because we sometimes forget the battle that we are called to fight in. If you're authentic in your faith, if you're truly a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have entered a war. Everyday life becomes a battle of focus, a battle of seeking the glory of God, and that everyday life needs to be lived in such a way that we display the greatness of God and what that means. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We began a short journey on spiritual warfare last Sunday. We looked at a text from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we declared that everyday life was a battle, a spiritual battle, and the devil has schemes. We're going to see that again today in Ephesians 6. These schemes threaten to distract us from living a godly life. In 2 Corinthians 2, we saw that that life included forgiveness and love and obedience in everything and living out the gospel in such a way that we are an aroma of the preciousness of who He is, a stink to those who reject Him, and the beauty of eternal life to those who accept Him. And we discussed as we looked at that, that one of the great tragedies of the North American church all over the world is that we slip off of the horse almost as if we're drunk on a horse to the one side, the ditch of focusing too much on demons and learning from demons, our doctrine of demons. And so we have to say the right words and do the right things. And these words have some sort of magical power. I'll never forget when I was first in ministry and was starting to deal with demons and they would manifest and you're kind of panicking and what do we do? And we were overwhelmed with fear. And so we got a bunch of people praying and then we did a bunch of reading and then we made sure we did the right things. And sadly, as I look back on that time of my life, the way I interacted, the way I fought the spiritual battle was I'd learned my doctrine of demons from demons. This is how you deal with them. This is what works. Ignore what the Bible teaches. Well, you'd never say it that way, but understand that the name of Jesus is some sort of magical power instead of understanding the name of Jesus represents who he is in his sovereign majesty. And so we want to get back to what the Word of God teaches, both so that we can be aware, the one ditch, ignoring spiritual warfare, but also so that we don't focus too much on spiritual warfare so that we're distracted from the life we're called to live. If we ignore, we will lose. And if we're focused on the demonic realm and learn our doctrine of demons from demons, we will also lose. Ephesians is one of the rich books in the Bible in terms of its theology. It's shorter than Romans, but it packs in almost as much as Romans in terms of a theology of the Christian life. Ephesians 1, so rich on the sovereignty of God, he is at work carrying out everything for his purpose. He has called us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. It just reverberates the greatness and supremacy of God. Ephesians 2, one of the richest, simple presentations of the gospel, and then what it means in terms of unifying Jews and Gentiles and people coming together because this one thing, this rich reality of being saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast, unifies us so much more than blood or other commonalities. In fact, it rips apart every other divide when truly believed. Ephesians 3 then shifts and we find this amazing prayer, one of the richest prayers in the whole Bible that ends with these words, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And as you reflect back onto what that literally means, it means we can experience his love and be filled to the fullness of God. It's breathtaking. And as we reflect on the richness of those three chapters, Ephesians 4 opens up and it says, walk worthy of the calling you have received. And I hope with me, knowing the richness of 1, 2, and 3 and all that is displayed, you gasp in awe. How is this even possible? And it shows how we treat one another and it reflects and moves forward into chapter 5 where we're called to be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love just as he loved us and gave himself for us. It displays Jesus not only as our Savior but now our model. And I want to be like him, and it shows us how we can do that in terms of relationships and being filled with the Spirit and not drunk with wine and overflowing into marriage and then all of life and seeing life now through the eyes of God and longing to bring him glory as we walk worthy and are imitators of him. Then Ephesians 6 starts to open our eyes that this is not easy. It's not easy, as other places in the Bible will display, because we battle with the flesh. It's not easy, as other places will display, and we'll talk about a little bit this morning, because we're in the world. And that's sometimes difficult, because in the culture we're in, we learn to think like the culture and not like God wants us to think. And so we need to discipline ourselves and fight our own flesh and fight for obedience to the Word and to even think like the Word wants us to think, not like the world around us. And that is not easy. Ephesians 6 then focuses in and it talks about the spiritual battle. Perhaps most clearly, we'll spend the next 2 weeks in Ephesians 6, one to look specifically at what this passage displays in terms of spiritual armor. This morning, more big picture in terms of a strategy. So what we're looking for from this, if the devil has schemes, we saw that in our text last Sunday. We'll see it again in this text early on. He's got a battle plan. He's working out that battle plan. We don't have to be ignorant of it, as we saw last Sunday. We can know what it is and so be aware of it, but we can also create our own strategy. In other words, we don't just ignore the demonic realm. We don't focus on the demonic realm and learn our doctrine of demons from demons, but rather we turn to the Word and we say, we're going to learn how to fight. We're going to have a strategy. We're going to have a think tank. We're going to be ready and aware and engaged in the spiritual battle going on, because there are so many other distractions. And so many Christians, when they get up to bat and have that opportunity to share the gospel or to glorify God by how they're living, or to display how Christians suffer or rejoice or love in difficult times, so many of us spend time reading instead of hitting. Ephesians 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 10. We'll read to verse 20, and then big picture, try to understand some of our own strategies that the Bible reveals so that we can be engaged in spiritual battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. That's the overarching command. And in fact, we will see this morning and then touch on again next week the key to victory. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There's that idea, his battle plan against you, against Christians, against churches. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. The standing firm is so important. This being authentic in your walk with God and firm in your faith and life. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one. Again, we won't talk about this much today, but realize in his schemes, he is throwing darts at you, and they're on fire. And if you're not ready, if you don't have the shield of faith, if you don't have your strategy, there is danger. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. It's interesting, even in spiritual warfare, where he drives us back to the good news of what Jesus has done, his desire to share it, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Interesting that he doesn't ask for freedom, at least from chains, but rather freedom to share the gospel. As we discussed last week, and one scholar, pastor, helpfully states, Satan's goal for the church is the opposite of God's. God wants humble, merciful, joyful, loving, obedient fellowship. Satan wants a place where sin reigns supreme. We see division in churches. We see selfishness in marriages. We see despair in pain. We see the battle raging around. So how do we fight? In this plan of the demonic realm, their schemes as they come against us, how does the Word of God then tell us to engage in the battle with our own schemes, our own battle strategy? First and most important, if you want to be victorious, you must understand this. We need to have a growing relationship with Jesus. I'm just going to stop for a minute, because although we know that, we often don't live it as we should. The first and most important battle strategy is this: we must have a growing relationship with Jesus. Look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the, what does it say? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's a relational battle, and we must be strong in Him. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit at all times, all occasions. This same idea, we are absolutely and totally dependent not only on the power of God to be at work in us and through us, but also relationally with Him to be strong enough to fight. Here's what we must understand at the very start of this journey in terms of our battle strategy. If we are fighting the demonic realm, no matter what our strength, no matter what our tools, no matter what our education, no matter how long we have been Christians, if we aren't living in relationship with Him, if our relationship with Jesus is not strong and we don't fight in the strength of His might, we will lose. Let me state this, demons are a lot stronger than you. They're a lot stronger than me. But in the Lord, they are nothing. We're going to see that as we go. But if you engage on your own or with the doctrine of demons that is taught by demons, you will lose. Oh, you might appear to win. That's one of their strategies, but you will lose. And so most important, foundationally important, is this relationship that is growing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 John 4, verse 4. I love this. One of the demonic strategies is fear. One of the ways we fight that fear is relationship. 1 John 4, verse 4. I have this in my office. I had some friends from Iran, a little church in Iran that was under intense persecution. They carved this for me in Farsi. I can read it in English only because my translation skills are tied to the Bible. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. No fear if you're relationally strong. 1 John 5:18, we know that everyone who has been born of God, you're authentically saved, does not continue to habitually sin, but he who is born of God protects him, that's Jesus, and the evil one does not harm him. Cannot harm him. Now you might be saying, well, sometimes I feel under attack, and you will be under attack. And then you might even say, well, what about Job? I mean, he lost his children, he lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost everything. You know what's amazing in that story? Satan can only do what God allows him to do and nothing more. Nothing more. And at the end of it all, we don't see a spiritual battle. Rather, we see on display the greatness of God. And do you know what Job's response is to that? He shouts back to God how awesome he is. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And then he says these precious words, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. See, he's got his eyes fixed where they should be, not on his despair, but now back onto the greatness of God. And he says, I despise myself and repent and dust and ashes. I missed it all. I got caught up in my own pain. And we sure understand that, Job, but we want to learn your lesson from you in the midst of our own lives to fix our eyes on Jesus. Okay, pastor, that's Job. I guess I can see that. I'm not sure I like it, but what about Paul? I mean, he was praying like crazy that those messengers from Satan, that thorn in the flesh, would be taken from him. Remember? And God didn't answer the prayer as Paul wanted him to answer. Pastor, did that not hurt Paul? And my answer is it absolutely hurt Paul. But as Paul then moves forward and is able to reflect back, do you remember what he says? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, this attack that was coming at him, so that Christ's power may rest on me. The reason we can have this concept of courage or this heart of no fear in spiritual battle is because when we're strong in the Lord, the enemy does not stand a chance. We don't have to have the right words. We have to have the right Savior. We don't have to have a battle strategy where if you pray the prayer like this and you don't do this and don't touch and don't you kind of create all of these rules that are not found in the Bible, you're missing relationship. So let me strongly encourage you. In the spiritual battle, in your awareness of it, don't focus on the demons and don't learn from them. Fix your eyes on Jesus and grow in that relationship with him, and don't stop growing. And then you can say with Job, my ears have heard of you, now my eyes have seen you. Wow, I am nothing, you are everything. Or you can say with Paul, I rejoice in my weaknesses because I belong to the one whose strength is sufficient for me, his grace sufficient for me. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. We'll tie into this a little bit in our implications, but here's what I want us to hear. And really, if this is all you hear this morning, you've heard enough. I think there's more we need to understand and more we need to go with. But in the strategy of spiritual warfare, the most important thing, the core thing, really the only thing that matters, although we'll build out from it, is a growing relationship with the living God, a growing focus on him, a growing desire to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There is more. Secondly, I want us to note that we are to be submissive to God, or if we wanted to put it active, submission to God. Not only growing in our relationship with God, but now submitting to him actively. The idea here, stand firm, be right with God, stand firm in the strength of the Lord, stand firm repeatedly. But we can also go to other passages where spiritual warfare is blinked at. James 4, 7 to 10. Verse 7, we'll put on the overhead, but I'll read it in context. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow! How do I fight? How do I fight? What do I do? There's demons around us, and you know what the answer is? Submit yourself to God, grow in that relationship, and now one step further, open hands, resist the devil, and he will, what does it say? Flee. Should you be afraid? Yes, of not submitting to God. No, of the demonic realm. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Like the NIV, he will lift you up. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Simply put, in your life, as you grow in your walk with God, the way to victory in the spiritual battle is to choose obedience to God's word. That's where Jesus speaks. That's where we have his word. So we pick it up. We understand it correctly. We know him better in it and through it. And then we say in our hearts, I want to win. I want to fight this battle with his strength. And so I'm going to fix my eyes on him. I'm going to grow in that. And I'm going to choose to surrender and submit fully. Job 42, we've already looked at. We'll put it on the overhead. Such an important passage in spiritual warfare, and we will refer back to it a little bit again, God willing, next Sunday. But here's what I want us to notice. Instead of engaging the demonic realm, he surrenders to the Savior. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things. You're all powerful. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You have a plan. You're at work in your plan. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? That's Job. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. Now I will respond relationally. I'm all in. I'm all yours. I surrender fully. Listen, if you're in a spiritual battle and you feel overwhelmed, you feel despair, you're feeling all sorts of things going on, here is what the Word of God is teaching us. Simplify. Don't make it complex. Simplify. Go to God and say, I want to know you more, I want to love you more, and my life is yours. Search me, O God, and let me know if there's any evil within me, any disobedience within me. I want it rooted out, I want to repent of it, and I want to surrender fully. I'm yours, and I'm all in, all of the time, with all of my life. See, the demonic realm loves those Christians, perhaps some so-called Christians, but even some authentic Christians, who get so caught up in battling the demons through the doctrine of demons that they forget to choose obedience. So let's simplify. I want to know him more. I want to experience his love more richly, and I want to love more richly. I want to have open hands and submission to him. I want to choose obedience. Now, you might be saying, boy, on spiritual warfare, I was hoping for something more profound. A strategy that was new, that I didn't already know, or that wasn't so simple from the Bible, and that's the danger. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's simplify. I want to know you more. I want to submit to you fully. Thirdly, again addressed in this text, but perhaps more profoundly in others, think biblically, or if you want to make it active, thinking biblically. A growing relationship with God. I want to know him more. I want to fix my eyes on him more. I want, when we talk about the name of Jesus, I want to know his character better. I want to surrender fully. I want my life to match what the Word of God teaches. Now I want to learn to think biblically. We call this to have a Christian worldview. Now here is where we understand from 2 Corinthians 10. I'll read you the text, but here we understand that one of the great strategies of the demonic realm as they attack us is to distract our thoughts onto other things, to display in us a different way of thinking. We all struggle with this. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. We'll come back to that in our implications. We all struggle with this, but the demonic realm would love for us to think in a worldly way, in a fleshly way. Selfish. Not preferring. Attacking. Disunified. Not loving. Remember Proverbs 6, the six things that the Lord hates, seven he cannot stand. That's the essence of what's going on here. Here's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Wow, this is cool. We demolish, now how do we do that? Arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. There's our first point. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's our second and third point. You see it in the text? It just jumps out. Our eyes are on him, and we want to know him more, and we want to think correctly in full submission, even our thoughts being made obedient to him, having this mind that is also in Christ. And we'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. There is a battle going on for your mind. Sneaky. Selfish. It's entitlement, could be filled with fear or despair or overconfidence or insecurity or lack of fixing your eyes on Jesus, a lack of satisfaction in him. One of the main attacks that you see in our world and you see in our churches, you can find satisfaction in things other than God. It's not a new attack. Listen to Jeremiah 2, 12 to 13. Here's where we need to captivate our thoughts and go, I want my thoughts so loyal to God and so loyal to his word that I know my only satisfaction can be found in him. Jeremiah 2, verse 12. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Listen, O heavens, and be in horror. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, Yahweh. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You're trying to be happy over here, and you can't. Oh, for a short season, maybe, but it ends in despair and emptiness and a dryness of mouth as you drink the sand that is so empty and causes even greater thirst. It's a black hole. He's saying, take captive that thought and go to God. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 is so important, right? You've responded, you're fully surrendered in view of God's mercy. You've offered your body as a living sacrifice, it's holy and pleasing to God. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to the Word and you're longing to think like the Word wants you to think. Or Colossians 3, you're letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Or Philippians 4, verse 8, whatever. And then there's this list of powerful things. You're fixing your eyes on those things. Or Psalm 101, verse 3, you're not letting anything evil into your sight. It's interesting, Proverbs 28. This morning, my devotions, verse 26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Well, then what do we trust? Who do we trust? Trust in the Lord with all your heart And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You understand now the pattern of biblical warfare. Here's the strategy for us as we fight back, because the war is real. I want to know God more. I want to submit to him fully so that my life becomes part of the good works he's prepared in advance for me to do. I'm noticing and engaging and doing them. I'm living a life of love, and I'm taking captive every thought, and I'm making it obedient to Jesus. It's hard work. And we need to be prepared. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. It's in his lectures to his students. Let us, dear brethren, try to get saturated with the gospel. I always find that I can preach best when I can lie and soak in my text. I like to get to a text and find out its meanings and bearings and so on and on. And then after I've bathed in it, I delight to lie down in it and I let it soak onto me. Well, why? If he knows already, because he wants his mind captivated. Take captive every thought. The demonic realm wants to use good and bad magazines, computer programs, games, TV shows. I mean, you fill in the list. Work, family, relationships. It's all sorts of things that threaten to distract. We're in a spiritual battle, and this is a call to arms. So how do we apply this? By the way, Shield of Faith, we'll get into this a little bit more, but Shield of Faith is this taking captive every thought and believing what the Word says, not the world, and living that way. We'll get into it, God willing, next Sunday. But how do we apply this? And again, it's going to be very, very simple, but life-changing if you're willing to hear it in terms of the spiritual battle that we're in. Implication number one, very simple. Make it your key goal to grow your relationship with God. Be strong in the Lord. Grow it. So that you can say, for me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Get to know him. This is, when you talk about the name of Jesus, you're actually talking about his character, not the name Jesus, but what Jesus represents. You're getting to know him. And so when we talk about praying in his name, we're praying in accord to his character. When we're talking about the power of the name, we're talking about the power of who he is, his character. We're growing to know him more. Don't lose sight of relationship with God. Be in the Word daily, longing to grow. Be in prayer all of the time. Make sure you're connected in church. I just love that we have such a focus on membership here. Be connected to the body of Christ. Use your gifts to serve and to love and to experience love. We need to not only know about Jesus, but grow to know him more and more and experience the intimacy of a walk with him that is real. Secondly, implication. Again, so simple, and yet so many of us don't do this. Give your life fully to God. What do I mean by this? Open your hands. I don't know what you're clinging to, but I know we all struggle with this. Open your hands and just say to him today, I surrender. I submit to you fully. Help me to understand your word more, and when your word and my life collide and are not in agreement, I will submit to your word. I give you all. See, when we saw the demonic realm attack Eve, how was the attack? Did God really say? And then Eve responds, not only with the demonic attack of taking away from the word, but then Eve responds and she answers, and in her answer, she actually adds to the Bible. God, we want to surrender to you fully, what you said only, not adding to in legalism, not taking away in apathy, but longing to know you more. I love how Jesus responds to the temptation. We get to watch. It's almost like a front row seat as we see this cosmic battle going on. And Jesus, fully God, fully human, responds and he quotes scripture. Full surrender. Willing to go to the cross to obey the will of his Father, no matter what the cost. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. There's our model. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. There's our calling. Walk worthy of the calling we've received. There's our pathway. Know him. Surrender to him. Choose to give your life to God. And then lastly, don't lose sight of the gospel. Because one of the ways the demonic realm will attack is to try to shatter your value in Christ or the immensity of your sin that he has dealt with. Remind yourself daily, there's therefore now no condemnation. How much condemnation? None. But I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I've done wrong things. I'm not where God wants me to be. How many of you fit there? Put up your hand if you're awake. Nudge the person next to you and say, hey, you didn't put up your hand, and I know you. We fight back, but how? We fight back with the richness of the gospel. He who knew no sin became sin for me, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God. Dear brothers and sisters, Spurgeon, to pastors, to brothers, he says, I'm adding sisters, try to get saturated with the gospel. Because when we do, we fight from freedom to freedom. We fight in his strength, with his strength, and we win guaranteed. We're in a spiritual battle. The demonic realm wants you to learn your doctrine of demons from the demons. God wants your strategy to be simple and clear. Know him. Grow to love him more and be fully surrendered with open hands. Whatever he asks, he is your Lord, Master, and Savior. And then rejoice in the richness of the gospel. And as you cling to it and you don't lose sight of it, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's 1 Peter 5, 6 to 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. It's this relationship, humble submission, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is a persecuted church. Nero is emperor. They're under intense persecution. It's only going to grow worse. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, the faith here means the content of what we believe. Standing firm with your minds convinced of the gospel. Standing firm with your minds convinced of the greatness of God. Standing firm because you know the reality of the greatness of our Savior and our salvation. Fight. But as you fight, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't get caught up reading. Don't get caught up with weights, some even good, or the deceitfulness of sin. We're in a spiritual battle. Together, in submission to God and with his strength, we'll win and glorify him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your people that are gathered here this morning. Thank you for the privilege of studying your word. Each person here is in an intense battle. Some might feel more intense. Some might be ignoring. Some might be struggling in the valley of the shadow of death. Others, seemingly life going so well. Others in brokenness and relationships that are in despair. And today, would you help us to see clearly? Would you help us to surrender fully? And as we follow you, to be satisfied in the richness of your love. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.